from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness. Sorry, just in the middle of a stretch there. Just stretching a little bit. Yeah.
This is going to be a great show. This is a lazy man here that's my co-host. He's yawning during his intro.
It was just one of those satisfying stretches, so I couldn't stop.
All right, well, at least not, it's going to be a relaxed show, folks, because I feel like I've been, I'm not going to say stressed out during the shows, but I've been going at like 500 miles an hour trying to catch up on everything, trying to just ramp shit up, you know, because the successful Indiegogo campaign, no longer living in misery, although, you know, it's obviously not luxury, but it's not misery either, just a refound kind of passion for it. So I wanted to just, you know, fucking do a great job. But I think that at the same time, some of the shows, I got to relax a little bit, right? Take it easy. Are we in a rush here? Are the terrors of religion going somewhere? I'm pretty sure that most people listening, bored as shit in whatever commuter thing they got to do that apparently the sameness of my voice calms them down. They just need more, right? So this will be a relaxed show, sir.
And let's try not to forget, it's not just all about bashing the baby Jesus. We got to have some fun. We got to laugh a little.
Yeah, and maybe smile a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love, Ryan. Well, today on the show, we have two heavy topics, though. But we're going to try to achieve some degree of lightness on the subject. One is rabbis in New York defying an order to get them to stop sucking the penises of little boy and boys and spreading herpes to them. And that's a tough fight. And there's also a girl in Pakistan, a disabled girl, who had been accused of blasphemy, is in jail, and it turns out that it's all a big scam to try to just persecute Christians. And that's going to be our two topics for the show. But before we start, I wanted to talk a little bit about my mini vacation that I took, because I went for the first time, Ryan, to the mountains, to actual fucking mountains.
As opposed to like fake ones, like in a Godzilla movie set or something?
No, as opposed to the fucking crappy ones called the Appalachians, which are the oldest mountain ranges on Earth, which means what? That they're fucking flat as shit. Like, these aren't mountains anymore. They're disgraced mounts. That's what they are.
So basically, throughout your entire life, you've been disappointed by tiny little flat mountains, and now you got to go check out some big, bountiful mountains, and you loved it.
It was, well, here was the thing that most struck me, because I am not the kind of guy that is easily moved by anything. When's the last time you saw me impressed at anything?
I don't know. You do try to one-up everything, so I don't know.
All right, well, suffice to say, it's very rare that I'll be like, wow, or I'll have a kind of, moment of awe when it comes to nature. I was always rather underwhelmed. It was a kind of compensation to my father, who was always overwhelmed by everything, because he's nature's man. He goes out there and he appreciates the forest, and meanwhile, I could not give more of a crap. That's his deal. So that forced a kind of underwhelmingness in me when it came to nature. But I think it was justified in the fact that the eastern townships in that area, while it may look good on postcards, isn't really the kind of thing that just inspires awe.
I always thought it was really nice. Like, I mean, as far as like a place in nature for a kid to grow up, it's almost like it's the most awesome thing ever. I feel like I got a 50s growing up experience from these townships, because it was so quaint, and it was like a small town in the middle of this beautiful nature. I mean, my backyard was just endless forest with trees to climb and brooks to frolic through. So,
but that's what I was saying. It's scenic, right? But it's not awe-inspiring. It's not like you were looking at that and your breath was taken away by just, I don't know. What's that word I'm looking for? I'm going to fucking butcher it. Magnanimity or something like that. You know, like just when something is just awe-inspired because of its hugeness.
Yeah, I know the word you're talking about. I also don't know how to. I don't know how to pronounce it either, so I'm just going to let you seem like the idiot.
Well, I appreciate you taking that bullet. Yeah, you got my back. Literarily, you have my back. Sure.
Oh man, today is the We Know Pronounce Words Good show.
Yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be editing the shit out of it like I normally do because I work harder at the shows now. They're more refined. That's only because as the years have gone by, I've been more embarrassed by myself. I think that's the whole age as you age and you look back and some of your cockiness starts to fade away and you're just like, is that me? Is that really me?
Yeah, I understand that.
I hope that there's going to be a turnaround as my mind decays. And then, you know, then you're endlessly impressed. I was smart.
Well, definitely I know one thing. Like when you smoke a lot of pot, it makes you self-criticize a lot more. Like you're just thinking about stuff more. So your brain dwells on things. You go back to them. I always find after I smoke some weed, like, I'll think about the shit that I posted earlier that day, and I'll get real uncomfortable about it. Like, well, what happens if this guy reads what I wrote about him? And it starts this big thing. Of course it never happens. It hasn't happened. I've been doing it for nearly 6 years, and it's never happened.
It's amazing. But it's kind of that same thing where we always said as advice to fighters, don't read the shit we write.
Yeah.
But, you know, you fully admitted that you were... What did you call yourself? The Gawker of MMA or something like that? Or how did we first identify the
Perez Hilton of MMA?
Right. The Perez Hilton of MMA. If you're wondering, by the way, this background noise of birds is happening, Chris's birds are in the process of mating. So right now they're either fighting or talking dirty to each other. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, so that's a bird. It sounded like a Cherokee Indian in the background. They're getting ready to ride off to battle.
Yeah.
Scalp some settlers.
That's racist. But yes, me and Carissa decided that we wanted to just shake things up. I mean, you have to remember that we had spent a number of months living in some pretty fucking horrid conditions, like sleeping on a blow-up mattress for months, having like camp equipment. It was just a fucking nightmare. And the stress of doing the campaign was actually predicated by the fact that Carissa was doing an intensive 3-week theater thing, which had like a bunch of very famous, very acclaimed like theater people. So she learned like more of the art of showbiz, and that was great, but stressful, you know, like they push you hard. And so we felt the stress of that. And then there was the campaign that was supposed to last 30 days, but ended up lasting 50 because I had to start over because the first one failed. And I had already borrowed some of the money of that campaign. It was crazy stressful.
It didn't fail. It succeeded and then failed.
Right. And, of course, had it not succeeded and then failed, it would not have succeeded again, I suppose. Or maybe it would have. I don't really know. But, you know, generally speaking, hell of a stressful time. And I think that, you know, to cope with the stressful times, you get into habits that are not good. So we wanted to kind of break those habits. And Chris had always felt ashamed that she had never taken me to the mountains, because apparently, for, you know, if you're from the East Coast and you're marrying a West Coaster and he's never been to the mountains, there's something wrong with you, I guess, in that culture. Because everybody's like, you got to go see the damn mountains. And having seen the mountains, I can understand why they say it. I'm like, yeah, you kind of need to go see the mountains. Because when we went to Banff, which is right on the border or close to British Columbia. So it's right where the mountains start, which is interesting because you go towards from relative plain to the mountains coming progressively. And then for you to be just, oh, well, I'm surrounded by mountains now. And the thing that you notice almost right away, like it's very quick. The way the mountains are so sharp, that was my first impression. I'm like, it looks like it's cutting into the atmosphere just with its crazy angles. Like, I'm not used to that, right? The fucking gentle slopes of boring Appalachians. Instead, there you just see sharp edges, and you recognize that, of course, it's the effect of gravity on these mountains now is to cut right through them as sort of like edges get torn off, you know, as like pieces start to fall off and crumble. Like it happens over time, like with all mountains, because gravity is a bitch. It doesn't want you to have things a certain height, and when you live on a planet that's like, you know, dead, for instance, it's going to be flat as shit, except for some craters here and there. So mountains is a sign that your planet is alive. And you know what? When you see its majesty and its size, in a sense, you almost feel that. Like it's like feeling a force of nature, except for that force of nature is there and constant and affects the whole world around it. You know, from its snow-capped mountains where you're like, it's just that's how it is permanently up there. Well, you know, I don't know for how much longer. But anyways, for you to realize that it's, you know, it's that reminder of how thin that little your bottom feeding existence is in the atmosphere. That's the starkest reminder of it, that you're just in a fishbowl and you have to be at the bottom. You can't even float to the top because then you wouldn't be able to breathe and you'd be cold as shit. And you're just like, is it really that thin? Yep. Are we really doing what I think we're doing to it? Yep. Moving on.
So it got you a little bit more in touch with your nature side.
I suppose so. It made me understand now why the primitive mind would have just assumed that gods lived on mountains. You know? If they had to live somewhere, it'd be a motherfucking mountain. So it'd be like the Greek gods and, you know, even Yahweh lived on a mountain.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they, like, skirted around some of the, you know, difficult realities of living on a mountain. I don't think you want to live on a mountain.
No,
I
you
think
don't
that's
want to,
a bad
well,
idea.
Well, that's the whole point, that you're a god. You don't care, right? You can be shirtless on top of a snow, you know, capped mountain, and it doesn't matter. Emphasis on shirtless, because that's how every artist likes to draw them. It's like, you know, I think that means that most artists are probably gay. But that's cool. With everybody being so chiseled, there wasn't really a need for that, was there?
Well, you know, I was at the art museum this past weekend and checking out a lot of the Renaissance paintings and stuff, and a lot of it was like a study in anatomy, so you got to appreciate that for what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, there's plenty of anatomies that aren't chiseled. There's a lot of anatomies that are big, fat, hairy, and ugly.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, imagine you're back in the Renaissance days. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of emaciated, disgusting, unhealthy, tumored, gross bodies out there.
Fun
so,
times.
You know,
yeah.
These artists are it's not like there's a beefcake walking around every corner and everybody's taking protein powder and they're all buff and super chiseled. I bet you see one of these guys that is used as a model for one of these paintings and they have, you know, not just a six pack, they have those side ab things that kind of go up the side. You see one of those and you're like, ayah.
Well, by today's comparison though, you know how much larger you would be to say the Jews were when they were writing the Bible. When they talk about the Nephilim, the so-called giants, it's just people that ate better. And that was back then. How they would see you or even some of our ginormous people and probably assume that they were giants. I mean, I would. It would freak me the fuck out. It'd be like, how can we win against these massive tall things? Well, you know, a spear's a spear. And a fucking virus is a virus. These things have a habit of wiping you out. Okay, let's move on. Let's actually get to the first topic. Because I don't want to talk about ancient warfare and bacteria infections and shit. That's a whole other show. Actually, I kind of want to do that show one day. But today, our first topic was something I wrote about today. Which just, it reminds me how far we have to go in terms of just doing the basic things. And this is a story where Orthodox Jews in New York are essentially, they've come out and publicly said that they are going to ignore a law that forces them to get the consent of parents, just the consent of parents, to allow rabbis to suck the penises of these little boys after they finish circumcising them.
And this is a real thing. This is not just like a strange. This is one of those times where you might think that a story is not true, or you might think that maybe there's a weird twist to it. No, these men are actually putting their mouths on the penises of babies. It's a standard practice.
Yep. It dates back really far. Because here's the thing. I mean, of course they can defend what they're doing. The call to do this comes from the Talmud. And it's basically their uneducated way of trying to guess what would be the most hygienic thing to do if you were to dare to cut the foreskin of your little boy. Now, I want to remind that there's not far from that one injunction is another injunction that instructs people that if two of your sons have already died of an infection, you don't have to circumcise the third one. So clearly there's a big fucking problem with this practice. I believe it may in fact account for why the Jews are only 14 million. You know, over the long term, I'm like, they may have really fucked themselves over with this practice. You know, why do it? You're just inviting your newborn son to die. And already, infant mortality at that time must have been fucking high as shit.
Well, what's the deal with a human's mouth anyways? How horribly full of bacteria and...
It's pretty bad. It's bad because a lot of people probably back then have something like gingivitis or who knows what. I mean, it's not like oral hygiene back then, too, was that fucking spectacular. And if you think it's any better now... Well, you know, with a lot of people, it ain't. You just have to realize that. So, number one, it's a bad idea. You know, like with that whole thing where if you get bit by poison, you know, so you're supposed to suck that out? That is so stupid. No one ever do that. That's dumb. It's not going to work. You're going to make it worse. You'll always make it worse. Don't put your mouth on things. Didn't your parents teach you that lesson? It's a good lesson. Don't put your mouth on things. Your mouth is gross. Your mouth is disgusting. And with that... I'm not going to tell people to stop kissing because, you know, it's still enjoyable enough that you can just take the fact that your mouth is a toilet.
And you're just rubbing your toilet mouths together, so it's perfectly okay.
Well, you kind of have to, though. I mean, you got to share each other's disgusting body stuff because you are so biological. Let me explain something, all right? Your house, if you had one of those sort of CSI-like cameras, you would move out. You'd be freaked out by how much you leave behind wherever the fuck you go. It's gross. But you're a walking sponge, man. So you just have to kind of accept that notion and just move on and be like, yep, we're gross biological, but you're not supposed to do that shit. And you know what? As early as the 18th century, it was starting to get pretty fucking clear, even to the fucking rabbis then, that there was something wrong with the practice. That, oh, yeah, maybe we fucked up. Maybe this is actually the worst thing that we can do. And the crazy thing, too, is that there's a point where they were starting to feel the pressure because governments were saying, we're about to ban circumcision. And they were just like, well, let's find some way around it. And they came up with an idea called the pipette. Okay, and a pipette is a glass tube that still allows you to suck blood out of this infant mutilation that you've just participated in. This was the compromise. And I find it really, I mean... At the time, they probably came pretty close to actually banning the practice, and you almost wish that they hadn't come up with this clever thing, because now it wouldn't be a thing. There wouldn't be half of the fucking American population missing their foreskin, and somehow still being proud that that's a good thing. Being fucking delusional enough to think, oh, no, it's a good thing to remove the foreskin. Excuse me, do you have any fucking clue why they do it? Where it really comes from? It has nothing to do with hygiene, and already I think you can tell from this whole Talmudic shit that they don't know shit about hygiene, do they? Really know nothing. I mean, it's like fucking darts on a dartboard. Most of the time you're going to miss the bullseye, and guess what? What's the result? Probably lots of fucking infant deaths for no reason, and that's what's been happening in New York. There's like a bunch of kids died, you know, from herpes infections, and a number of them are now disabled, deaf and shit, and all kinds of trouble. Because these moils have herpes mouth. They're disgusting. They don't fucking... They've never heard of contraception condoms and shit like that. They don't like that. So, of course, you know, they're like every other human being. They probably fuck around, spread shit. Who knows what? I mean, that community, I have read books. That community's pretty fucked up. All right, there's a lot of abuse. I would say on par with the Catholic Church. Except for the Catholic Church now has a big fucking spotlight on them. And the Orthodox Jews get away with fucking everything. It is unbelievable. I mean, in 2006, Mayor Bloomberg called a meeting for them, like pretty much begging them to not do it. And they just came back being like, we're going to still do it. Fuck you. We never change.
Well, this is the problem with trying to trying to convince anybody to do anything that's against their religious doctrines. I mean, even something as obvious as, I don't know, not sucking on the penis of an infant with your mouth.
When you cut it with a fucking blade?
And you're a gross old man, and you are the man that sucks on all of the baby's dicks. It's to me, it's just the most ridiculous, absurd. There's so many situations nowadays in society where you look at something and it's absurd on its face, and yet we end up playing this ridiculous dance around game where we have to respect some weird cultural tradition, and that's how it's framed. And in that way, it no longer becomes absurd. But I'd like to just put this out there that regardless of how you dress it up and regardless of how you try to excuse it through cultural or historic reasons, I think at a certain point, you just have to say a spade is a spade, and a man sucking on a baby's penis is bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
So bad. I mean, and talk about fucked up. So back in 2000, and I think it was 2009, there was this rabbi called Yitzhak Fisher. And he was prosecuted because there were two infant deaths. And they were just like, this, it's because of his fucking herpes mouth. Now, not only was his lawyer good enough to be able to dismiss it from lack of evidence that it's possible for these moles to transmit it this way, despite the fact that scientific studies are very clear on this topic. There is no debate. But you know what? A courtroom is not a fucking science lab. And, you know, who knows how that court fucking decision turned out. But regardless, even after that, the government decided to basically just leave it to the rabbinical courts. And he is still practicing. So to give you an idea of what rabbinical courts mean is that the old boys club was asked to deal with it, which is to say they were asked to ignore it, suppress it, and just... everything can go on smoothly, and Mayor Bloomberg can still appreciate all the support of these fucking jackasses. And you're just like, that's the real problem. Because strong religious groups like the ultra-Orthodox Jews are a gigantic voting majority that you have to placate. And you know what? You know what it reminds me almost? It makes me weep. This is an example of the general failure of democracy for us now. Because... as soon as we mix the democracy with religion, where we allow that exemption, this kind of shit happens. No one's held accountable. Entire groups that are subversive to the way the government functions are allowed to thrive and organize themselves and use the government against the rest of us or against public health fucking issues that are real. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's shocking. Anyone else would have just, any other group practically, would have just been held accountable. But this is how powerful they are, you know, because they're concentrated in a very small area. They're very, very wealthy because they own a lot of land, and many of them are fucking slumlords because they don't give a shit about goyim like you and I. Or Gentiles. Is that what the way? Anyways, it doesn't fucking matter. But the point is, This is a huge issue and one that we always ignore. Yet another example of the fucking poison of religion. And meanwhile, we want to just... the Democratic Party is having a little thing. I don't know if you read this speech where they're like, faith is a really important part of our government and constitution. And placating to fucking religious fundamentalism. And it shocks me and it angers me. But you have no choice because you know what? It's the same level of religiosity as Turkey. So, you know, if someone says something shocking in Turkey, like, you know, someone to say, well, women should expect rape. You expect that in Turkey. And when it happens in America, everybody pretends to be shocked because that's actually a quote from an American senator and representative, excuse me. And you're just like, oh, well, that's an American who said that, but they have the same level of religiosity. It's clear what religion does. It's right there in your fucking face, and everybody ignores it. They're like, no, it's something else. It must be cultural. What a fucking joke. Like everybody who's like anybody treats these things differently. It's like, can you explain to me how a Pentecostal preacher, for instance, is not entirely wrapped up in that culture? Like religion and culture are indivisible. By the way, next week, there's an interview with Jerry DeWitt, who's been appearing on lots of publications, stuff like that, for the Clergy Project and the Recovering from Religion. So we have a, I have an interview with him, which is going to be available Monday. And he was apparently a fan of the show, apparently a secret fan even before he came out of the atheist closet. Isn't that crazy?
That is neat. I always love hearing like people that, when people listen to it, like I ran into a couple of people who told me they listened to the show, and I don't know.
Really?
When
did this happen?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Really? Was it just a random thing though, or is it?
Yeah,
people knew?
I was just saying that you know, this is what I do. I'm on this podcast, and they said I've listened to that podcast. I like that podcast.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little bit freaky. It happens so rarely, though. I mean, I think it's actually happened to you now more than it happened to me. I think it happened to me once. But that's because I was already at an atheist gathering. Mm. I don't know why, though, because, I mean, obviously I'm a disembodied voice. No one recognizes me, so when they hear me, I suppose they do, but I'm surprisingly silent in public. You know what, though? I've learned my lesson. You remember how it used to be when I'd be all discussy on a metro or out? People just start interjecting themselves in the conversation. You're just like, hey, this is private. What are you doing?
Mind your own beeswax.
Mind your own business. It's like, but you don't want to say that because obviously I don't want to make them close to interacting with other human beings, because I think it's like one of those rare moments where someone has the bravery to talk to someone else and make a connection. And I would just want to say, but that ain't me, guy. That ain't me. Choose somebody else. I don't want to really... I don't have time for an interrupty person. Aren't I nice? I'm a nice man. Come and meet me. Come and meet the good atheist. And I wonder why people don't say nice things, because I'm such a judgmental prick. It's like, oh, gee, what a surprise. But that's okay. You know, that's me bread and butter, right? I wouldn't be the man who the man I am if I wasn't a judgmental piece of shit. Because who the fuck am I to speak out against any of this stuff, right? Oh, who am I to say that sucking on a boy's penis is wrong? Well, you know what? I'm going to take a stand on that one. I think my character is strong enough to be able to say, this is more bullshit. You should be fucking outraged.
Relative truth being what it is, I'm going to stick with the... With the penises being sucked by old men is a bad thing. And again, just going back to that point, how messed up is it where we can't even, you know, gain any ground on an issue as obvious and clear cut as this? Hey, look, it not only is it number one super creepy and gross, number two, it's killing babies, and it's killed babies for a long, long time, I'm sure. I mean, how many babies do you think have died because of this? We're just, oh, the baby got an infection. I wonder where that infection came from. But it's still happening, so it just goes to show you, when you're not even able to knock down this obvious, ridiculous outlier of stupidity.
Oh, yeah, and I wish it was just sort of like where we could at least claim that we had, you know, sort of like not lost any ground. But we have lost ground. That's the truth. Because of the way that religion has now made a third great awakening. It's in its death throes, but that's always the most fucking dangerous time, right? A cornered animal will react violently. And this is what I fear from these groups that we just keep giving power to. You know, where there's no political party as an American where, you know, that has any chance of winning, where they're not going to give more funding to religious organizations. That's not going to stop. That's only going to increase. You know, and you're paying out of pocket, dear non-fucking believer, to the tune globally of $70 billion. All of us pay for this fucking nonsense, and we always take one step back. This is just one more fucking example of this. I wish I was more influential in this one fucking regard. Well, that's not true. I wish I was more influential in about 30 regards. But this one's pretty, it ranks really high up there. Because I just find that, like, this incursion is just unacceptable. No one has the fucking guts to take these guys on. Nobody. And that's depressing. And I'm like, I just wish somebody would step up, have the fucking guts to expose that shit more than a few newspapers that I have to fucking dig deep to find some real stories. Digging deep like 2006, fucking going back to source, and a lot of times finding dead links and shit. Very enjoyable. Yeah, I like that one. That was fun. sound bitter again. Let's move on. Let's move on to something that's more enjoyable. No, wait, it's not. Oh, my God. That's the problem with my topics. They're so dreary. It's like, hey, Jacob, why are you like this? Topic selection.
Well, what are we supposed to talk about? What positive topics can atheists discuss about religion and reason in the world nowadays? Is there some magical situation where, hey, at the Republican National Convention, they finally acknowledged hard truths about the environment and the way that the economy works?
Was that an alternative dimension you're just talking about?
This is just what I'm talking about. I've said it over and over again. We are in a very, very bad... We've got a really bad streak going on right now of completely ignoring all real problems, and everything is just getting worse.
Ignoring reality.
And there's no solutions being offered up and nothing being done.
But here's the thing. Maybe this is just too simple to be true. But I will tell you, like... Okay. I think that we make a mistake when we assume that there are specific instances that influence the way the world operates. I think what actually happens is they're more like systematic forces. And what we are witness to now is a population bubble of an aging group that fears its own death. And in that fear, we're witness to everything that, you know, you and I despise, I think is a consequence of just that systematic fear and how that influences everything else. That's why people are more delusional. Their death is imminent. You are more likely to be in a delusional mind state. And if you're ignoring the fucking reality of your own death, why don't you ignore the reality of climate change? Why don't you deny evolution? Why don't you just live in a fucking fantasy land? Because apparently that's okay. Apparently accepting some kind of false but beautiful idea is more worthy than believing in the fucking truth. And you're just like, wow. Well, fucking, what do you expect from the society that you live in? Huh? Do you expect it to embrace these? No. I expect everyone to live in delusion land. But, again, I think that might calm down when a little bit more of these motherfuckers start dying. And you know what? I say that with one of my parents being one of these motherfuckers. But you know, one of my motherfucking parents is a big-ass bigot when it comes to homosexuals. And he's just, his systematic feelings towards that are part of the problem. So what the fuck are you supposed to do? Grandpappy and Pappy have some embarrassing beliefs, and they're influencing and controlling your future. Shit. That sucks. It's the cheery show. Yeah.
Well, let's hope after everyone dies that things get better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that normally, I think that always happens with any species as well. There is always that kind of trauma. I mean, it's going to be traumatic when we find ourselves, you and I, to be that generation that holds the reins, because we would have not held it for the majority of our lives by the time we even get a taste of it. And we're probably going to do a terrible job. We'll probably be known as the worst generation. So that's for the 30-year-olds and more. That's on you. Try to raise really smart kids. That's all I could say. Because everybody else seems to be living a little bit longer, and you're caught in that weird middle. You know, you can't express your own view of the world because the old view still permeates, and you don't know how to do it without actually having a really violent revolution, which you don't want. It's like, that's not how you want it to be done. So meanwhile, you're going to be asked to pass... You're going to be given the reins for like 2 minutes, and you're going to be asked to pass it along right away. And I think it's going to make you feel impotent as a generation. That's my prediction. Is that doom and gloom?
A little bit, but that's okay. As I said, it's an atheism show. We are all doom and gloom. That's why everybody hates us.
What are you talking about? Apparently people love us.
No,
although they're not really specifically about. Oh, you mean like the atheists in general?
Atheists in general, how we're like worse than, I don't know, cultists and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, like, we're, you know, number one. We're worse than Reverend Sung Yeom Moon, you know? We're worse than that guy. Because he was a believer. And he's just like, oh, man.
It's such a cheery smile, too. See all these pictures of him smiling? He seems so cheerful.
Wonder if he smiled when he spent all that time in prison. Is there one prophet that hasn't spent time in prison? really? It seems like, or at least committed some serious criminal acts. I mean, it's a pretty sweet, if I was a criminal, I think I'd try to be a religious person. Because number one, you can get away with it for longer. And number two, if you get caught, you can always like do the whole, I born again, right? What a fucking sweet deal. Why am I not doing this, Ryan? Why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I fail a good atheist, I'm going to totally betray everybody and just cash out.
What, jump over, pretend you're religious?
I'm going to fucking out-cup S.E. Cup. That's what I'm going to do.
What, has she done that yet?
Not yet. But, I mean, she is essentially, that's the reverse. She's the Christian equivalent of that, right? Where she pretends to be, like, an atheist, but is an actual believer because she wants to be famous.
Yeah, I'm not sure what her deal is yet, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I would say that that's how I would do it, too. And odds are she's probably actually a real non-believer, too, because, you know, these kinds of cynics cannot fucking possibly believe. But she's still a piece of shit. Like, honestly. Probably ranks as the worst atheist. I think I'd rather Stalin. At least he's honest. She's disingenuous to the max, buddy. Disingenuous to the max. Okay, speaking of disingenuous. Now, most of you have probably heard of this because it made the rounds. And it's a Christian girl being prosecuted by Muslims. So it's going to get some attention from some mainstream. This was an atheist girl, maybe not so much. But,
or maybe just some weird, like, I don't know, Hindi sect or something like that.
Well, I was actually thinking, I mean, there's, when I was looking at the statistics of how many people have been prosecuted under blasphemy laws, half of them are Christians, right? But you know who the other half is, or close to the other half? It's this weird group called the Ahmadiyya, all right? And the Ahmadiyya are sort of like this offshoot of Islam that believe that their prophet, Ahmed, was like one of this. There's a specific belief in Islam for a character called a Mujaddid. And a Mujaddid is like this, I don't know, superstar that's born every 100 years. He's like the Justin Bieber of Islam, born to kind of like revive the faith. And it seems as though any time a person claims that one of their dudes was that, it's like a major fucking heresy. So I don't know if they really like this passage. But anyways, they claim that, you know, this guy was one of them. And in the Pakistani constitution, there is a specific amendment against these people calling themselves Muslim. And if they call themselves Muslim, they're going to be specially prosecuted under these specific blasphemy laws.
So like just if they identify themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I, like I said, as Muslim, or if they do other things too, because sometimes it gets like pretty fucking crazy. Like if they share like a plate or a bowl of ice cream with a Muslim, and that's enough to cause offense. Because many of the statutes, the rules in it are worded as such that if you cause religious offense, it's enough to just at least be in jail for 1 year. Just 1 year. And since 1986, there's been almost 700 blasphemy prosecutions. And while no one yet has been, you know, actually publicly killed by the government, 20 of those individuals have been just murdered by mobs when the government be like, here you go. Do with them what you will. You know, and a couple of years ago, actually 2 years ago, you and I, actually 3 years ago, oh shit, we're 2012, shit, it's making me feel old now. Okay, so 3 years ago, we were talking about this one chick called Asi Baba. She was a Christian in Pakistan who everyone had said that she had cursed Muhammad, and she was the first person to be, you know, essentially convicted to death, and she's still awaiting being hung. There was a politician, the governor of Punjab, who came forward. His name was Salman Taseer. He came forward and he tried to defend her, and his bodyguard shot him 40 times. And everybody there, including other politicians, were like, great victory. Now, they did sentence his killer to death, but he was more than happy with that sentence because he's like, I'm going to go to paradise and fuck a whole bunch of virgins. It's like, you know, anybody who pretends that those kinds of beliefs, by the way, aren't real and don't influence behavior, You're a fucking placating little liar. That you need to wake the fuck up and realize that beliefs matter. They make people do really fucked up shit. They make a person murder what was probably a great man to come forward and risk his life and his family's life trying to defend this woman. Like, holy shit. And then for everyone in that country to praise the murderer gives you an idea of just how psychotic this fucking religion is. It's psychotic. And this religion is written into the Pakistani fucking constitution. It is the mandate of the Pakistani government to spread Islam. It's written clearly there. I can show you. It's like one of the first articles of their fucking constitution. I was reading it today. It was very depressing. You know?
Yeah, this is one of those reasons why the founding fathers were like, how about we don't saddle our country with a religion in these documents? But of course, that's not what it is at all, because any Republican will tell you that the founding fathers were staunch Christians with a love of Jesus that
it was unparalleled.
Yeah, unparalleled. And they obviously wanted Jesus and everything and religion to be all about America and America to be all about religion.
Yep, so much so that, you know, you look at what governments are doing in the U.S. and the only thing that moves forward is legislations to prevent raped women from having abortions. And you're just like, all right, I realize that Republicans don't think that governments actually do anything for economies, but clearly they do. And they just need to get over that fact. But of course, you know, like, you can have a strategy of just distracting people, and that works really well. You can do the whole gay marriage thing, and that's going to be good for like another 20 years. You know? And this abortion thing, when's that going to fucking end? I don't know. Maybe after we do our whole abortion ban campaign. Maybe then we'll change America. You and I will change America!
Yeah, give it... I don't know. I don't see it changing anytime soon. Once again, this is the great thing about atheism is that it's always cheery topics and they're always relevant because nothing changes.
Nothing changes. You mean, like, go back and listen to a whole bunch of shows. In fact, I think I'll put a link to the show we did on Acibaba, just because I'm sure it has every relevance. I haven't gone back and listened to it, but I looked at some of the notes, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I'm going to put a link to the show, because Pakistani blasphemy laws, people, they're essentially used to prosecute minorities, and that's just all they're good for. They are terrible. And yet, there are still resolutions, UN resolutions, that are proposing to make these things mandatory everywhere. It's like, thank God the UN is impotent when it comes to that shit. Could you imagine? I mean, there are blasphemy laws in Canada, by the way. What we're doing is technically illegal. I'm sure we could be fined for speaking, and we may even be qualified as like a fucking hate organization, according to some of the things we've said. I'm like, well, that would be unpleasant, huh? To fucking be forced to pay fines for speaking my damn mind? For speaking about the poison religion, someone's saying, like, well, you were mean. You're a big meanie head. So we want to jail you or fine you. Fantastic. And yet, you know, and here's the other thing, too, because every once in a while, you know, I'm reading an article and some non-believers like, well, why do we have to be so vocal about it? You know what? Like, I just want to go and slap that fucker in the back of the head and be like, it's a good thing you don't fucking control the movement no more. Because you're useless. You're seriously useless. You just can't be silent about that shit. That was the problem. You know, my doing my part for me is at least trying to educate people who listen to the show about that shit. That's the least I can do, and apparently all I can do because I'm lazy. But fuck, do not be silent about that. You know, in the case of this little girl, I mean, let's get into this one because it is shocking. This well, we're not sure if she's 11 or 14 because this gives you an idea of the accuracy of news. So take it with a fucking grain of salt because I've been trying to find out some details, but they are sparse people. The New York Times and the LA Times have probably two fucking foreign correspondents, and the rest of it is probably just freelance jackasses not really interested in getting the news right. So she's either 11 or 14. She's either mentally handicapped or has some kind of learning disability. These things are unclear. Her name is Rimsha Masi. I think that's how it's pronounced, but I'm not quite sure. And the allegations are unclear, all right? But what is clear is that she was in possession of some kind of damaged books. And one person had claimed that in the burnt remains of wherever, because some people think maybe she found this in the trash or was walking around with something that she was trying to destroy. We don't know. But someone accused her of having pages of, at first it was a book to understand the Quran, and then later it became pages of the Quran itself. Now, she was in jail for 2 weeks in a maximum security prison. But before that happened, when everybody found out that this had occurred, the mosques were plucking on their loudspeakers, like the same ones that pray five times a day, on those same loudspeakers, saying what had happened. She and her family were beaten and their house set on fire. They're now under protective custody. She's been in jail in a maximum security prison for, four weeks now. I'm not quite sure how many weeks it's been, but it's been a lot. And now, finally, some new evidence has come to light that it was actually a piece of shit imam who fabricated the allegations in order to be able to prosecute the local Christians. That just fucking came out. She's still in jail, by the way.
But all of this is based off of, like, the new allegations are based off of just another witness coming forward and saying, yeah, I saw the imam messing with this girl's stuff. He was the one that put that there. And I'm like, this is just another random person conveniently saying something that probably just goes along
with... Helps further his career,
yeah. Exactly. So we don't know what the hell is going on at all. Nobody does. All we know is that there's a lot of angry people out there looking for an excuse to punish somebody.
Yeah, and those right now are Christian, or those weird other Muslim sects that I was talking about that they're not too fucking happy about. And, you know, despite, like I said, in their own constitution, pretending that they're supposed to be protected minorities, there's lots of government officials that are just, like, more than happy to let fucking mob rule in issues like that. And, you know, there's a specific part of Pakistani constitution that I find particularly disturbing. One of them is that if any of the imams that are obligatorily on this, unlike important government councils, like they have to be there. And there's even a specific mandate about how long they need to be like imams for and all this other kind of shit. If any law is deemed to be, well, wrong according to their Islamic interpretation, then it has to be revised and changed and or abandoned. How is any progress supposed to happen when that's written in your very constitution? And when someone even proposes to get rid of blasphemy laws, they're killed, despite them being like government officials. It doesn't matter. Their own bodyguards will fucking kill them. That's how crazy it is. It's nuts. It is nuts. And let me remind you that this is a nuclear nation. It is pretty fucked up. And it's the poison religion that no one wants to talk about. That's the real cause of all of this fundamentalism. It's religion. And every fucking placating motherfucker who tells me it's cultural, read their constitution and come back to me. Huh? I read that motherfucker. I know exactly what the problem is. It's clear as day. Why are we ignoring this? It's not going to go away just pretending it. Nothing ever goes away when you pretend. Nothing. You got to face the hard truths, which is what TGA is all about apparently now. Jeez. The downer organization. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, this was supposed to be a super laid-back, relaxed show, and it just...
It started that way.
Very Debbie Downer-y.
It was Debbie Downer, but I looked hard for something that was a little bit more cheery. But, you know, when you only have a few hours to come up with some topics, so you're going to go after those ones that you find you can be more passionate about. And besides, I'm sure that there's a few people who just had their dose of anger or whatever that they need to sort of, like, let out. What am I doing to people? Am I making them angrier? Is that what I'm doing?
You might be firing up. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I suppose not. I just hope that nobody does anything crazy. Don't do anything crazy, all right? Don't make me look bad. Because then somebody's going to say, hey, there's this guy who's spouting all this rhetoric and making people all angry and shit. And I want people to be angry, but I don't want them to do something crazy. So it's like, that's a fucking fine balance, man. Maybe one day I'll learn the harsh lesson of how much you can play with that fine balance. But, you know, hey, let's not be too prophetic. This is supposed to be a good show with full of lightheartedness.
Yeah, good job.
Well, thank you. Do you want to end on something lighthearted? We can add something if you can think of something. But I'm stewing in some negative juices here.
Yeah, I got nothing.
You got nothing positive happening? Well, you know what was nice? You mentioned that on Labor Day you did some labor. That's nice. You helped a friend. So
yeah.
I'm trying to leave people with some positive. Ryan did something good. He helped a friend.
I am a helpful friend. It is true.
So there you go. Something positive. We ended with something. Phew! I was worried there for a second because the show's about to end. But here's the good news. I just want to keep people appraised of what's happening. Now, in 10 shows, we're going to be at a total of about 300. And I wanted to take that opportunity to do that, you know, reboot, because there's no more bonus shows. All right? That concept doesn't exist anymore. What's going to happen is that older shows are now just going to be locked down. So it's not so much bonus, it's just sort of if you want to listen to a backlog, but from now on it's two shows a week that are free. And we're just going to rely on people that support us because they love going back and listening to old shows, or they know that $5 a month is what we're asking for to get people to support. And you either support it or you don't, but I don't want shows that are not being listened to anymore. That's not fucking happening. We're going to pump these out and we're going to just get more people listening to it. That's what I want. So with that in mind, I'm going to change the naming system and all this other kind of stuff. There's going to be a couple of reboots. So, you know, 10 shows in, I'm giving you that. Please adjust. And maybe some of you are going to complain about the new naming convention. I don't know, because you're going to say it's confusing. But that's, you just have to deal with it, all right? Because it's not episode 182. It really isn't. We've done so many more fucking shows. We're going to be at episode 300. And you know what else is happening near episode 300? We're going to be at 1 million downloads in total for all the shows. 1 million. It's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy. That's some good news.
Yeah, 1 million downloads. So it's all happening really around the same time. So what I'd like to do by episode 300 is probably have like a really big show. And, you know, I'm getting so good at now sort of scheduling thing ahead. The days of shit not being up on time are done, people. Like, I recognize that a lot of people who want to support are just like, that was their minimum requirement, and that's now being fulfilled. And I think that Ryan can say in confidence, too, that he's agreed to that as well.
Yep.
He's like, we can do this. We're pros now. No reason we can't fucking do it. So that's what's cool. And there's a bunch of other exciting news. So I've been doing crazy work to get interviews with interesting people. Like I said, next week there's Jerry DeWitt, who I already interviewed, and it was a good interview. You guys are going to love it. He's a fantastic speaker, and like I said, he was a fan of the show, so all of you are going to have to instantly love him. And I also have a band that's going to be on the show called Quiet Company. There was a fan of the show who let me know that these guys were formerly a Christian band, and they slowly became atheists, and now they're writing about atheist shit. So I'm like, oh my god, you need to be on the fucking show. And you know, apparently we're a big enough deal that even while they're on tour, they've managed to squeeze in 1 hour during their damn tour to come on the fucking show. So it's gonna be wicked. And like, we're firing on all pistons, people. It's, you know, I've been working on the book and that's been going great and shit like that. Everything is positive. And that's why I also want anybody who's like wants to support, I'm like, be a supporter. Like, we appreciate you guys doing it. That really helps us move this thing along and do even better, like, all the fucking time. And that's my pitch. And I think that's what's excited people right now, right? Good news is that Good Atheist is doing great. So don't go crying on me or thinking that we're going anywhere. There was a fan who actually almost freaked out because I put, like, the latest episode is out. And she was like, oh, my God, I thought that said the last. I'm like, all right, guys, can you calm down? Everything is fine. I don't want anybody panicking anymore. TGA's doing great.
It did seem a bit grim for a while. We weren't sure what was going on.
It was a little grim. But everybody fucking pulled it off. Like, the book advanced was phenomenal. I mean, it was double what I was asking for. I mean, that's why we're doing great, right? Everybody sort of doubled down on TGA. And I'm like, so will I, bitches. I'm doubling down. So I hope you guys are liking the shows, liking the interviews, and are just generally positive and happy that we're doing like two shows for everybody now. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is now. Changes, changes. See, we can't afford the song, so I have to sing it. Sorry, guys. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.